Hello, and welcome to this episode of Ruckcast. Ruckcast is your opportunity to listen in on unscripted conversations about cutting-edge Ruckus Wi-Fi and wired networking technology, Ruckus business, and just interesting innovations that impact the computer networking industry today and in the future. Ruckcast is brought to you directly from CommScope Ruckus Education. For more learning opportunities, be sure to log on to training.ruckuswireless.com and view content on our Ruckus Education YouTube channel. Simply search for Ruckus Education on your YouTube homepage. Without further ado, here's your host, Matt Clauda.
Steve, I'm really excited to have you here because over the course of the past, I don't know, three or four podcasts, they have been wireless driven, and I'm not knocking wireless or Wi-Fi. I have a wired background, which I've talked about, so I'm really excited about this. So welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me here, Matt. And I always like to tell everybody, you can have the best wireless in the world, but if it's not going into a good underlay, a good wired infrastructure, doesn't mean anything. And I like to think, as part of Ruckus, as we brought together the Brocade ICX products with the Ruckus wireless products, we have been able to combine really the best value for customers in terms of a wired underlay to a wireless infrastructure. So I've been responsible for the wired products, the switching products for the ICX products for well over 8 years now. Started with Brocade, then became part of Ruckus. And I'm really excited to be here to talk to you and your audience about some of the cool things we're doing and really help people get to know me a bit better.
Well, that's awesome. I'm super excited to talk to you. I know everybody's excited to have you here. So one thing that, you know, I think that I speak for a pretty large handful of people in that the ICX technology, whether it be the software, the hardware, anything, has come so far over the years. And I know that that has to do with a lot of different teams and a lot of different people pouring blood, sweat, and tears into that. You know, and it's come a really long ways, but when you look at the kind of the lifeline of the product and where it was and where it is today, if you could kind of pinpoint, you know, the three biggest milestones you hit with it over the past 3 to 5 years, and then what you think the next 3 to 5 years is really going to tie in with that product.
Okay, that's a big question. So let me try to do it justice. And if I miss something, just ask me to more questions, Matt. So, many of you may not be aware that Ruckus ICX products have over a 20-year history. Mm-hmm. We were once part of a company called Foundry Networks. Foundry Networks was known in the industry for having the highest performance Ethernet switches. They were the first to market with gigabit Ethernet and so forth. They got acquired by Brocade Networks. So we were part of Brocade, and when Brocade got acquired by Broadcom, our business was combined with Ruckus because Brocade had acquired Ruckus a few years back, got combined with Ruckus, and then subsequently sold because Broadcom didn't want to have a product line that competed with their direct customer. So that kind of tells you a little bit of the history. Now, from the Foundry days and to today, and even the Brocade days to today, there's been a number of big changes we had to do. Has the market evolved? Has our customers evolved? Has who we sold to change? And for us to also line up to where we thought the future of the market is going to be. If I had to make a call on what were some of the big roadmap decisions we had to make, some of them were a little risky, but turned out to be the right thing on hindsight. What are some of the big decisions we had to make that impacts all of us today and gives you the product you saw today? The first one is when we say, hey, you know what? The way the market is going, people are going to fixed configuration switches and away from modular platforms. When I first took over this portfolio about 8 years back, actually about half of my sales were from chassis-based platforms and half were from fixed switches. Today, if you look at my portfolio, it's only fixed switches, and we actually sell more product than we ever did, and we ship far more Ethernet ports than we ever did. Now, why is that the case? A couple of things. If you think about the industry as a whole, modular switches have been trending down, which is chassis-based platform year over year, every year, and now it's probably about 10-12% of the market. Most people have realized that there is a simplicity and elegance to fixed configuration switches that really gives them a pay-as-you-go model, simpler training, simpler sparing. So that's the direction they've gone. And you can also take a look at what the hyperscalers are doing, your Googles, your Facebooks, your Amazons. By the way, everybody announced their results today, and they did spectacularly well. Their designs for their data centers is to use the same fixed switch at both the top of rack as well as a spine layer to aggregate them, because this lets them throw up a data center really quickly, plan for everything, power, cooling, and so forth, plan for the maintenance and everything else. So there is an elegance to the keep it simple design that fixed switches do. And when we made this decision a number of years ago to say, hey, we're going to focus on fixed platforms and away from modular platforms, that was a key decision we had to make. A little controversial when we did it, not controversial today, but that's one of the things that changed us for who we are today. If I think about what's probably the second big decision we had to make, this was probably, we did it about 3 years ago, and it became effective. You really saw the results of the work about a year and a half back, was when we were trying to figure out where we wanted to take the management of our platforms. Historically, we had been managing our platforms through a standard vendor-provided network management platform called Brocade Network Advisor. Very standard NMS platform, managed a lot of things. It had its advantages and its disadvantages, but it was a decent NMS platform. When we became part of Ruckus and we had the wireless portfolio as well, one of the things we wanted to do was, how do we show more value for our customers and partners? And how do we show a better together story that really unlocks stuff? It's easy to say 1 + 1 = 3, but sometimes it is possible to get more than value than the sum of the parts. So we wanted to do something like that. And rather than keeping Brocade Network Advisor around, we say, hey, we have a really great multi-tenant, really scalable platform, a controller, wireless LAN controller in Smart Zone. How do we evolve this to becoming a network controller and both manage our switch portfolio as well as our wireless portfolio? Again, wasn't the easiest of decision because it could have been a distraction on our wireless roadmap. It could have not gotten traction. I would say our first product out of the door had limited functionality when we first shipped it in August of 2018. But we've come a long way from there, and we continue investing. And today, I'm actually glad to say 30% of the switch ports we ship out from Ruckus today attaches to a Smart Zone license to manage the underlying switch, which really tells you a couple of different things. One is, we have been very successful with our Smart Zone switch management effort for the strong reception by customers and partners. And second, it's also telling us they were very successful in selling both our wired and our wireless portfolio together. So I think that's the second big bet we had to make. The third big bet we had to make was really when we were acquiring Ruckus. So that was probably when Brocade was acquiring Ruckus, I would say, which was about 4 years ago. There is a slight difference in the customers that, say, Brocade sold to versus Ruckus sold to. Ruckus is leading in hospitality, leading in the service provider space, definitely in the smaller end of the enterprise market and in the channels, serving SMB and so forth. Brocade was more of a direct touch selling model to the large enterprises, because the selling motion was to sell to really to the customers who are buying Brocade's fiber channel products. So the customer base was going to change. Naturally, a lot more, Ruckus had a lot more partners than Brocade did, and also a lot more smaller customers. So we had to take a look at our portfolio and figure out how to adapt our portfolio to be relevant to the new types of markets we're going to sell to, as well as the new customers. And one of the things we did, we actually slowed our roadmap down in certain areas because we brought in a new family of Ethernet switches. We put it on steroids, accelerated it, and in fact, it was our fastest from decision go to ship switch family, and that was the ICX7150 switch family that many of you know and love. And today, the ICX7150 switch family, in a matter of 3 years, has grown to generating half of the switching revenue that Ruckus generates. So been tremendously successful because I think working with feedback from many of you and understanding your needs, we are able to build a platform and a family that really catered to what you wanted. So I think those were three of the bets that we made in the last few years. So to the second half of your question, Matt, I apologize if I'm being a little long-winded.
No, not at all.
To the second half of your question on what are some of the key bets we are making in the coming year. So I would say, first off, some of the things we're doing is continuing business as usual. We are heavily invested in Smart Zone. So take that for a given. You're going to see us do a lot more on Smart Zone. Like with Smart Zone 6.0, we're going to add CLI support. But that's bread and butter activity now, right? You probably just saw we added cloud management support for the ICX switches. That's going to be another big area of investment for the coming years because the way we see is we want to be a vendor that lets you build solutions for different sizes and different use cases. So we've been very actively pursuing a better together story within our switch and wireless portfolio. So we have, over the last 6 months, released support for switching support in Ruckus Unleash for the smallest customers, switching support in Ruckus Cloud for people who want a cloud management experience, and we're continuing the investment in switching support for Smart Zone for people who want an on-prem or private cloud experience. So that's one area we're going to be investing in. And we are also adding more capabilities to that because with FastLine 9.0, one of the things we are introducing is a series of enhancements to our management layer that internally we're calling Management 2.0 that will let us significantly scale our management capabilities for our different management platforms, as well as add a number of programmatic interfaces for those of you who want to build your own management suites on top of our switches. So one big area of investment, which is ongoing but and will continue, is going to be in the management area. New areas we are going to be investing in is Ruckus Analytics. So Ruckus Analytics shipped earlier this year, initially with switch support and with some basic insights for switching. This is a big area of investment for Ruckus in, as a whole, because we feel this is a way for us to unlock the full value of the network for you if we're able to get insight as to what's going on in your network from both the LAN and WLAN perspective, because you're now able to see what's happening with applications, what's happening with your servers, hey, why is a user not being able to connect? It just gives you, simplifies your troubleshooting experience, gives you greater proactive reaction to any potential network hotspots or issues, and really makes life easier and unlocks more value. So Ruckus Analytics is one big area we're going to be doing significant investment in. The other thing, which is a little bit further out, but you may have seen some clues based on our investment, is we feel there's two ways your larger customers are going to go. For larger customers, for those who are primarily focused on a management experience, we feel the path they're going to go is Smart Zone. Some customers may be looking at more than a management solution. They may be looking to solve problems such as segmentation. And in this case, particularly fine-grained segmentation, as well as to really bring a concept that you may have heard of in the data center over to the enterprise campus, which is the idea of overlays and underlays. You want to transport underlay, and then you want to overlay different services on it. You can kind of think of it at home like, hey, many of you probably use Netflix or Disney Plus or something like that. That's an example of an overlay service that's running on your home network. So how do we envision delivery of these overlay services? Today, we can kind of do it a little bit with using VLANs or QNQ, which is VLANs encapsulated in VLANs, or VRFs. But we really want to get you to the next level of scale. And again, this is something we can borrow from, hey, what people are doing in the data center with technology called VXLAN. We are bringing VXLAN functionality to the ICX switches. It's already there today in the 7750 and the 7850. One of the big areas of investments you're going to see from us is expand this VXLAN capability across most, if not all, of our portfolio, depending on the underlying chipsets. And we're also going to add a control plane to it so that you can dynamically create tunnels and push the tunnels all over the network. And that's where we are adding a standards-based routing protocol, BGP support, BGP with address family support, to allow you to pass this tunnel endpoint information throughout your network. Now, many people tend to freak out a little when they hear BGP. Don't worry about it, because we understand we want to keep this easy, right? So we actually be providing macros and so forth. So you're not exposed to the full complexities of BGP as you roll out our support for BGP EVPN with VXLAN. Because one of the things I do want to enable is, when you think about things like IoT and so forth, you want to keep all of these overlay services isolated and separated from your underlay network for security reasons, privacy reasons, or other reasons. How do we make this simple for you? And this also gives you nice tie-ins to the rest of our portfolio, like Ruckus CloudPath, which can help with onboarding devices into the appropriate tunnel. So there's a lot of things we can do once we do this infrastructure. So stay tuned for more information on some of the innovation we're going to be doing in this area. But that's one of my big bets. So if I think about what else I want to do as a big bet, you are going to see, let's see, let me think on that for a minute. Let me stop on that. Management, VXLAN, and you're going to see more from us on the hardware angle. We will constantly keep refreshing switch families. And the third big bet I'm doing, which already is kind of underway, is multi-gigabit. Wi-Fi 6 needs multi-gigabit Ethernet for backhaul. And we were first to market for a couple of things that's really important for you as you think about Wi-Fi 6 deployments, because we are the first to market with 90-watt PoE, and we are the first to market with cost-effective high-density 2.5 gig within the 7150 48ZP that introduced 16 2.5 gig Ethernet ports with 90-watt PoE. We followed that up with the ICX7650 family that had high-density multi-gig all the way up to 10 gig in speed with 90-watt PoE. And we're not stopping there. We're the first to market with a compact switch, the ICX7150C10ZP, with multi-gig support and 90-watt PoE. And we're not stopping there. I will tease you guys. Stay tuned in a couple of more months. You're going to hear about a lot more about multi-gig hardware from us. So those are some of the things we're doing, man.
Well, that means you have to come back and record again, because you can't throw a teaser out like that and then just ghost everybody. But you said something that's really kind of cool in it. I don't know if people have really, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but one thing that I certainly caught on to was how we had all of these different products, and the products, they have a different function at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. But we were able to take Smart Zone, Unleashed, and then be able to encompass every single product that we have, and they all kind of roll in together, and they all work off of each other, and they all talk to each other. And I think that there's, you know, in some aspects of the industry, there's a huge disconnect there. I mean, there's products out there that one doesn't talk to the other. Well, why wouldn't you eat your own dog food kind of thing, right? And so seeing that is really, really a very refreshing thing to see. And then the other thing, talking about EVPNs and VXLAN and things like that, that gets me super excited because, and I mean, I know when you talk about it, people look at all these words that haven't dealt with it before and think, oh man, what am I getting myself into? But when you look, and we had experience with that on the Brocade side with a different product family, but when you start to look at that stuff and how it actually rolls out, for one, the configuration of it, I mean, you can make it as complicated as you want, but to deploy it, it doesn't really require that much. And then you look at the overall benefits that it brings your business, it's endless. I mean, you can't, it's almost like when you do it, the amount of ways that you can benefit from that and the different services and things that you can start to tie into it, it's endless. I mean, you know, the ceiling's the limit at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a little anecdote, right? My favorite toy growing up was Legos. I had a single box of Legos because that was all my parents could get for me, but I would play it endlessly for hours. And to some extent, that's really guided my philosophy to product design. I like to think of stuff when we build it as to be able to be snap-on blocks. It should be able to deliver value on its own. But how do you combine things together to solve different problems. And it's a view I have for life, for product development and so forth that I continue, and I really push people to think about it. How can stuff get extended down the road? But I want to tie back to an earlier comment you made, Matt, on eating our own dog food, getting people to work together. I think it's easier said than done, right? I've worked for other companies, and it's been challenging to manage acquisitions. It's been challenging even when it's organic products to get them to work together because people have to let go of ego, have to not think about not invented here, really think about, hey, how do I deliver value to the end customer end of the day versus making my numbers look good or something. So that's been really refreshing about the team here in Ruckus. Everybody's really focused on the end goal. How do we grow the entire business, not just one product line? How do we deliver value? And how do we solve problems in a way that really makes our stuff easier to use, right? I would actually challenge the audience on the call. Think back to other vendors you may have used or other vendors you looked at. Who else has a single controller that manages both your wired and wireless platform and was able to introduce it in as seamless a fashion as we did? That's a pretty significant engineering challenge, with, and it had its risk and so forth. But the fact that I think everybody did the right thing or tried to do the right thing, I think really moved us. And by the way, there were some horrifying stories along the path, like weeks before FCS on the Smart Zone 5.0, we were like, oh my God, this is not shippable. There's so many bugs. We have to rewrite this. So we had our ups and downs, but I think working with this team has been really refreshing.
I would agree. And I think that one of the reasons why looking at it, because I have friends that are in the industry that I used to work with, or I'm still friends with or keep in touch with. And we talk about this stuff off and on. And I'm in a pretty distinct position compared to where they're at, because I get the pleasure to talk to people like yourself. And I've had an opportunity to talk to Bart and talk to Promote and people like that. And you go through this stuff and you realize that what you're saying now about putting all these products together and then people putting their egos aside, it's not, nobody's putting on a show to elaborate on this to get people to buy into it. It's really and truly what happened. And it shows, because when you take somebody who is, you know, a software engineer for ICX, and then you take a software engineer in Smart Zone, and they're both dealing with two platforms that ordinarily you look back 3 years ago, they weren't intended to talk to each other. But now, hey, come on, man, let's work together and figure out how to get these things not only talking to each other, but how to include some pretty awesome functionality in there. You don't see that very much. So it's really, really cool to see. It really is.
Yep.
So, and I'm also pretty fortunate too, where I have, I mean, I've been with the company since Brooke, so I've been here over 10 years, and I've seen the evolution of these products up close as well. And especially when it comes to the evolution of Fast Iron software, I mean, if we look back to how the first flexible authentication version, which was, I think it was 8060, you know, we saw how it behaved in 8060, and you see how it behaves in 8090 plus, it's night and day different. I mean, there's behavior in there that is just really kind of flipped over and is just seamless now. So it's awesome to watch that stuff evolve. It really is. And I think we all owe you and your team a huge debt of gratitude for the amount of work that you put into that.
Well, I mean, it's a team effort, right? Whenever we build stuff, it's like, hey, the product team does some work. And by product team, I mean both the PM team, the engineering team, and so forth. The support team has to do yeoman work. Sales, partners, it's a fairly closed loop cycle, right? So I wouldn't take credit for success in any one particular group, because we have had our shares of misfires and so forth. I won't tell you guys about a platform I had to silently kill called the 745032ZP, but I think I just mentioned that. But I think it's what makes us different and what makes things interesting is to hear feedback from partners on what's working, what doesn't work, and what they would like to see. We are a small team and we cannot necessarily do everything, but understanding market needs, or more importantly, where the market is going to go, and being able to very rapidly respond is important. And I'll share another anecdote, right? This is based on one of my previous employers, and it's true also with Ruckus. We support a lot of features. My previous employer support a lot of features. But I would take a look at the tag database all the time, which mine the configurations to see what features people are turning on. And the interesting thing was 98% of the customers used less than 20 features.
Yeah.
So you had a massive long tail. This is why quite often you would have probably seen from what Ruckus does, we don't follow what other vendors do. We try to figure out, think about, hey, where do we think people are going to go and what do we think people are going to do and try to invest in there, because I'm not interested in getting a check mark on every single feature. We'll never win that battle.
No.
I have to do something different. And that's another philosophy of my life, which is how to do something different. So really focus your efforts. And this cannot be done without having open communication on both sides, from our customers and partners and into the BU and into the field and to the support organization. So that's really important. And that's what drives success. Sometimes we miss it. I mean, we're not going to be perfect all the time. We do. But I would like to say we make the right call more often than not.
Yeah, and that statistic alone is, I mean, that really gives you perspective on things. Because you're right. I mean, ICX is routing switching. It is very feature-rich. There's tons of features in there. And it doesn't mean that, you know, Wi-Fi and SmartZone isn't. But knowing what we know about wired products, there's a ton of features in there. And one thing I guess I'm kind of curious about, I was beating this drum pretty hard for the past couple of years because we do a lot of, we call it enablement training, but usually what we were doing at the time pre-COVID was we were taking new support staff and we were kind of running them through a hands-on practical course.
Yep.
And one thing we actually did is we put them through some pretty heavy IPv6 implementation practice. And so from your perspective, how much load are you really seeing or effort being put into IPv6, and what kind of viewpoint are you guys taking into that and kind of looking down the road and seeing where we're at?
IPv6 is such a tough discussion to have all the time. We are pretty much out of V4 addresses, right? So we have to go to V6, but people just seem to be able to keep making V4 work. Now, the challenge is we have to invest, because at some point people are going to make that, the light bulb is going to go off in their heads and they're going to start turning on V6. And if you don't have a deployable solution, you have a problem. So we have always done a pretty significant investment in V6, at least in terms of control plane support, management plane support, and so forth, because some of you are probably on the call aware a good chunk of the Ruckus ICX business is sold to the U.S. federal government and government, central governments around the world, and most of them have an IPv6 mandate. Like the U.S. federal government has an IPv6 mandate. So if you want to be able to sell to the U.S. Fed, and especially to some of the military agencies we sell to, we need a fairly robust V6 implementation. I won't mention the name of one agency, but there was one agency in particular 2 years ago when we updated a lot of our V6 code, found just about every V6 bug we had, and they really helped make our stuff really robust. So because of who I sell to, I have to make significant investments in V6. Now, that said, outside the central governments and select enterprise customers, unfortunately, the adoption of V6 has not been there.
Yep.
That said, we continue, just because of where our customers are, to continue to have focus and significant investments there. And one of the areas, for those of you who might be interested, is it's also impacting the rest of our portfolio. Like SmartZone in the past was a very V4-centric platform. We're going to be adding V6 management capabilities, so you can use V6, SSH V6, et cetera, for example, to manage the switches, courtesy, again, of some of the customers we sell to. So you're going to see the benefit of the focus for V6 on the wired platforms throughout the rest of the Ruckus portfolio. That said, I think I wish more customers would look at V6 and start deploying it.
Yeah, so do I. And look, I'm not trying to glorify this, but typically when we walk into that class the morning of the V6 piece, it's kind of the equivalent of taking a cinder block, tying a rope around it, tying it around their ankles, and then throwing them in the deep end of the pool, saying, here you go, figure it out. And that's really what we did to them. But the stance we took with them was, look, we'd rather have you learn this here in a classroom than on a on a call with a customer. Yep. And we have the – and I've had former Aeris employees come to me that were on the operations side that talked about how well our V6 deployment was done in our equipment because of things like that. So we were able to, or, you know, just in that work that you're talking about, able to build out that piece so well that now, I mean, everybody else can benefit from it. But I'm with you. I wish people would start to migrate to it a little bit more. It's not as scary as it sounds. It's really not.
No, it's not. It's not. So. Yeah. And I think considering how much chaos and pain people have to go through with configuring NAT and the performance hit and latency they do with NAT, at some point, people should take a hard look at, should we just pull the trigger and move to V6 and get away from NAT? It'll probably make my life easier. I think a number of you, every couple of months, a number of you ask me, hey, can I put NAT on the ICX roadmap? And we keep evaluating it. It's not there yet. But if everybody moves to V6, that's one less feature I need to do.
It's funny you bring that up because I was just thinking, I can't even count the amount of times I've been asked, hey, can I NAT in an ICX? And I'm like, no. But now my response is going to be, you don't need to if you deploy V6. That's my new tact. That's my new stance for everything. So cool. Siva, I can't thank you enough for coming in and doing this. And everybody heard it here. You actually committed to coming back in a couple months because you tried to stay tuned. So I can't wait to have you come back in and talk to you more.
No worries. Looking forward to talking to everybody again. Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
Thank you for listening to Ruckcast. If you just found us for the first time, be sure to follow or subscribe on your platform of choice so you can be notified of future episodes. If you have ideas for future episodes or can't find Ruckcast on your favorite platform, contact us at ruckcast@comscope.com. And as always, thanks for listening.